This is Martin Zender here, and I thought I would give you a little different look if you're watching the laundry cam. I'm using the onboard camera here instead of my handy dandy Logitech camera, just to give you a different look, just to shake it up a little bit. You know, I know you've missed Judy Garland. She's been here the whole time. My muse, she's watching over me. And here she is over here. Welcome to another edition of the Revelation series. You know, nowhere does Paul say that the return of Christ is imminent, but rather that the era is limited. I mean, Paul doesn't come out and say Christ could come in at any single second, but you get the sense that he's telling us to await, to look, to anticipate, to expect. All these great words speak of imminence. He doesn't use the word imminent, but anybody putting these other words together would come up with that idea. He does say, however, that the era is limited, and I will insist on that. That is, it is being wrapped up. It is passing away. Limited. It's being wrapped up. Paul does say in Romans 13:11, this is for you and for me. I want you to know this. Romans 13:11, be aware of the era. I haven't given you that verse yet. That's a huge verse. Be aware of the era. We are not to be as those unaware. And yet, if we're totally enmeshed in our little, what we can see here on earth, then we are going to not be aware. Be aware of the era, that it is already the hour for us to be roused out of sleep. And I insist that those who are over engaged in this world are in sleep. Those who see the coming of Christ and consider it to be far off, they are asleep. And they are also becoming scoffers. Where's the promise of his presence? And they mock the soon return of Christ because of past failures, as if the failures are responsible for it not being the time yet. Be aware of the era, for it is already the hour for us to be roused out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. Well, that's always true. Now it's nearer than when we believe, because when we believe is in the past, so now it is nearer. And even if it's some crazy amount of time away, it's still nearer. And see, this is the mindset. Think of it always as nearer. I've told many of you this. If Paul were to be told back in his day that there was still 2,000 years, he would be absolutely astounded, flabbergasted, probably not believe you, would be incredulous. He would slap his forehead and start stroking his beard. It's like, what? No, it can't be. Well, it is. But it's nearer now than when Paul was alive, isn't it? 2,000 years nearer. Mr. A. Enoch, the man who wrote the book The Unveiling of Jesus Christ, in his last year of life, as he was unfortunately slowly dying at his home in East Los Angeles, California, he had his wife wheel him out every day to the porch. And I was there at that house, and I saw the porch where in 1965 Mr. Enoch would have himself wheeled out to look for Jesus Christ. And this was the man, in my estimation, who in his day was the most knowledgeable man in both evangels, the circumcision and the uncircumcision, who had written entire scholarly books on Revelation and on the book of Daniel, who informed Bullinger about the proper thing to believe about baptism, a contemporary of Dr. E.W. Bullinger, a man who translated the scriptures from ancient manuscripts. And this man, not Benny Hinn, not David Wilkerson, not Hal Lindsey, this man would have himself wheeled out in his wheelchair on the back porch every day to look for the return of Christ. Keep that information in mind as I read this verse again from Romans 13:11. Be aware of the era, that it is already the hour for us to be roused out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. unquote. Paul is always presenting salvation as nearer, not farther away. Nearer. Anyone who says it's farther away is not in accord with the spirit of Paul. Anyone who presents it as near, who presents it as an expectation, a continuous expectation, is in the spirit of Paul. In the prison epistles, where Paul's supposed to have given up on the limited era and just kind of resigned himself to an interminable slog through the Aeonian mud, he writes to the Ephesians about being pre-expectant in the Christ. Pre-expectant. We expect something before Israel. And many of you are looking to Israel, as you should, to gauge the affairs of the final years of Millennium 6. And if Israel is close, then we are closer. In another prison epistle, late gospel, late letter of Paul, he writes to the Colossians, talked about this in 1:23, since surely you are persisting in the faith, grounded and settled, and are not being removed from the expectation. Any article which says that, oh, the coming of Christ can be 500, 10,000 years ahead, you are being removed. That article, that writer is removing you from the expectation of the evangel. You might say, well, technically, no, we're still to expect it. Not really, no. We know it's coming, but you personally are not expecting it if you imagine that grace must roll on for another 10,000 years. How is it that you are expecting it? What you hear, which is being heralded in the entire creation, which is under heaven, Paul speaking, of which I, Paul, became the dispenser. And then there's verse 27 of the same letter of Colossians, to whom God wills, speaking of the saints, to make known what are the glorious riches of this secret among the nations, which is Christ among you, the expectation, there it is again, the expectation of a long slog through the Aeonian mud. No, it's not what it says. Expectation of glory. Again, Paul makes no mention of imminence here, but neither does he make mention of distance. And he never does. He never says, might as well buckle in for the ride. It's a long ways off. Nope, never says that. It's always expectation. It's always be looking. It's always be watching. It's never drowsing. Never recommend you to be asleep. Never recommend you to take your affections from the heavens where Jesus Christ is, literally, and bring them down here. It's true, Paul, like us, simply doesn't know when the snatching away will happen. I don't know when it's going to happen. But what he does know for sure is that the saints are to live expecting it. What Paul encourages is the very thing that our friend discourages, telling us at the end of his article, quote, don't waste your time imagining that you will be delivered away from your divine training ground, end quote. That's not our apostle. Now, I want to piece together two pieces from Paul's two prison letters, the verse above and the verse 27 from the same chapter. I'm putting together those two verses from Colossians. I put them together, kind of like create a Frankenstein. But instead of a scary monster, this is a beautiful tapestry. Paul exhorts the saints to not be removed from the expectation of glory. Do not be removed from the expectation of glory. Adding glory there from the other verse. Our friend Clyde, on the other hand, exhorts the saints, do not waste your time expecting glory. It's all about your divine training ground. It's all about my divine training ground? No. Now may the God of expectation be filling you with all joy and peace in believing, for you to be superabounding in expectation in the power of Holy Spirit. That's Romans 15:13. Let me read it again, because I am a communicator to you of expectation. Because if we do not have an expectation for us, this sounds selfish, this sounds greedy. And I realize we in the body of Christ tend to not do this. We tend to be shy talking about our own glory. And yet, are we holier, more righteous, more spiritual than Jesus Christ, who says, Father, glorify me with the glory I had with you before the world was. Glorify me. We have an expectation of personal glory. This is a foreign way to think for many people, not me. Because this is promised to me by God. Why would I shy away from it? Oh, because I'm not worthy. Because I'm not worthy of it. Because I'm a sinner. Because I make mistakes. Because I stink. It's not about you. Remember, it's about the delight of His will, capital H. So, Romans 15:13. May the God of expectation, He's the God of expectation. Now this, really, this is popping out at me like it never has before. This is Paul to the Romans. This has never popped out at me like it's popping out to me now. May the God of expectation. God, the L, the placer. Wow. I mean, I know God is love. I know God is spirit. He's a God of expectation. Be filling you with all joy and peace in believing. And yes, it's believing in God and in Jesus Christ, but the context here is expectation. And I will say that expectation of glory is a present display of the power of God's Spirit inside of you. May the God of expectation be filling you with all joy and peace in believing, for you to be superabounding in expectation. Expectation of what? Of a new job? Of a new car? Of a new wife? Of a new husband? Expectation of a new house? Of a better mortgage rate? What is this expectation? And is it to be an expectation that will give you consolation and peace and joy today? And could that consolation in expectation, could it even some strange remote way be said to involve our current trials? All right. We're not insane. We're reasonable, rational people. And we know that we have to go through trial. We know that we have to undergo hard things. We know this. Paul said, through much trial, we enter into the kingdom. And Christ brings many sons to glory through the same means by which he came to glory, that is, suffering. We know this. And yet, is our expectation that we're to have now, is it anywhere remotely said to involve trials? Would that be joy and peace? Even Paul says in Hebrews, any normal person would say this, that a trial does not seem pleasant at the time. It is not a thing of joy. It is not a thing of peace. Later, it brings the fruits of peace. But we're not talking about that here in Romans 15. We're talking about present joy. Present peace. And this God of expectation is the one who plants in you this expectation. It has to be God planted. If you don't have it, God didn't give it. If you do have it, God gave it. The opposite of it is to either be a scoffer who says, where's the promise of his coming? It's far off. Nothing's happened since I've been alive. Too many false prophecies. No more expectation of being delivered. Deliverance, the deliverance of our body. That's what Paul talks about in Romans 8. I'm in Romans 15 now, but Romans 8, the deliverance of our body. And he talks about that in Romans 6. He talks about it everywhere. He talks about it in 1 Corinthians 15. He talks about it in 1 Thessalonians. He talks about it many places. The deliverance of our body. And it's not the deliverance of our body into more trial. This may come. But this isn't belonging to our joy and our peace. No, it belongs to, oh God, I got to go through this. Okay, well, I got to go through this. We're not insane people who pray to God for more trials. Are we more spiritual than Jesus Christ? Father, deliver me from this cup. He prays, tries to get out of the trial. Jesus Christ, an escapist? Why didn't Jesus follow Clyde's advice? Come on. You don't want to rob yourself of more trials here. Don't imagine that you're going to be taken out of your trial. And yet here's the Son of God praying in his extremity to remove from trial. And he teaches his disciples to pray, deliver us from evil. Not deliver us into evil. No sane person wants to stay here and get more evil. We will if we have to. But the expectation being talked about here in Romans, I'm getting kind of whiny here. The expectation, patience and teaching. The expectation being spoken of here in Romans is nothing to do with expecting more trials. It has nothing to do with some insane desire to stay here so that you can get more trials. God is in charge of your trials. You don't need to invent any of your own. You don't need to pray to go through more. God will take care of that. You need to pray like, Lord, if it's your will, get me the hell out of here. This is what Jesus Christ did. Are we more spiritual than Jesus Christ? If it be your will, get me the hell out of here. I'm paraphrasing, obviously. Maybe not. Maybe the writer of the gospel was paraphrasing. We're not crazy people. Now may the God of expectation be filling you with all joy and peace in believing, for you to be superabounding in expectation, in the power of the Holy Spirit. Nothing there about focusing on our divine training ground. The divine training ground, again, is necessary, but it's not our expectation. It's not mine anyway. I don't want it to be yours. Our divine training ground is coming to an end. It's as limited as this era is. Your divine training ground, where you are suffering, the field of your agony is as limited as this divine era is. We are getting out of this hardness. We are getting out of this pain. People, expect it. Any day now, this is what Paul wants for us. Refuse to be robbed of the joy of thinking that it could be today. Not only are we to be expecting our change, but according to Paul, we are to be superabounding in expectation.